This is Jeff Crellin with a piece that was written by the late Eric Wood. Yes. Now, he was a good friend, I believe, wasn't he?
Oh, yes. Eric was a great friend of mine. And he recalls this mine's tragedy very graphically, and I think it should be published. The parish of Arbury is in shape rather like the island, being rather long than wide, tapering at its southern and northern ends. Towards the northern extremity between Ballyrock and Ronig is that group of ruined buildings known as the Old Ronig Mine, and April the 1st this year marks the 95th anniversary of its closure. 1902 was its last working year, except for a period during the First World War when the mine was briefly reopened to supply a much-needed ingredient for the making of explosives. According to the great Ronig Mining Company accounts in the museum, 29,000 barrels of treacle were extracted in 1902. And it does seem strange that the mine should suddenly shut down the following year, throwing dozens of men out of work and delivering a financial blow from which Ronig has never really recovered. Mr. Arthur Flood of Colby, whose uncle was under manager of the mine, retains a deep interest in the history of it and is an authority on the mine. Mr. Flood told me that there have been a lot of theories as to why the mine closed. But, for once, the failure of Dumble's Bank was not to blame. And certainly the mine was not worked out by any means. As a matter of fact, said Mr. Flood, my uncle told me that when they reopened the Derby seam during the Great War, they found traces of a much higher grade of treacle than previously thought possible, and that it was there in viable quantities. In Mr. Flood's opinion, the closure was due to an accumulation of difficulties, any one of which the company would have surmounted. Ronig treacle has always been of commercial or low-grade quality, and when they struck high-grade treacle when boring for bitumen in the West Indies, the price of the Manx product had to come down. The government lent money on the condition that the company produced, from distilled treacle, a liqueur named Manx Mist, which would advertise the island. A lot of money was spent on production, and the liqueur was widely advertised for making Manx coffee. But the locals, instead of using cream, used buttermilk, which gave it an odd taste, although, as they said, it was a lot cheaper. And gradually it disappeared from the market. An interesting point is that a law passed at that time is still in existence, making it an offence to distill spirit privately from raw treacle. This was necessary, as the miners were selling their homemade poutine in Manx mist bottles to unsuspecting tourists. The government also lent money towards a scheme for converting the manager's house into a first-class hotel to catch the passing carriage trade. But this also became a loser, probably because the road had not yet been made up. Then the company tried to introduce a refinery to convert treacle into high-grade syrup, but bumped into the conservation people, who had it stopped, owing to the dangers of pollution and the seabirds becoming treacled up. This combination of circumstances brought the company to the brink, and in June 1902 they held a meeting to decide on future policy. It was one of the hottest Junes for decades, day after day of unclouded sunshine, and by the 12th the waste treacle inherent in the slag became unstable and started to run downhill. By 4 o'clock it had reached a row of miners' cottages named Mafeking Terrace. It burst in through the back doors and downstairs windows, trapping Mr. Flood's aunt, Mrs. Dora Flood, who was taking a bath in the kitchen of number 3. At this point, however, it is my duty to report that sadly, insular industrial archaeology suffered a severe blow by the loss of the documented conclusion, to this very important piece of Southside history. But it is of some comfort to report that Dora Flood did survive the Mafeking Terrace disaster and emigrated to the United States in America, where in Monterey, California, she opened a charitable haven for lonely seamen known as the Bear Flag Restaurant, graphically documented by American historian John Steinbeck, who also published a fascinating and revealing monograph on Cancer Paguris Marinal Insularis, the Manx crab, well known to us all.